it's probably the hardest thing to daven. And it's very much to our credit as Jews that we never allowed that desperate need to evolve into Avodah Zarah. A Jew stands at the wall. I'm not speaking about the Kosel HaMa'arovi, I mean the wall of his shul, the wall of his room. And the Jew facing that wall is speaking to the Ribono Shel Olam and is addressing the Melech Malchei Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he looks, he opens up his eyes, and all he sees is a wall. Because there is no icon, there is no idol, there is no image, there is no cross. There's nothing there. And the reason there's nothing there is because we never allowed that we should reduce the Ribono Shel Olam for our sakes, even if that means for the sake of connecting to him. And the paradox and the dilemma that every Jew has about his kavon and tefillah, you should know that it's rooted in the very fact that the children of Hashem have denied themselves an image of their father. That the children of Hashem give Hashem the credit of being far beyond their capacity to perceive, of being beyond their ability to think logically, of beyond their ability to see with their eyes of flesh. It's something that the entire world repeatedly succumbs to. And so it's really a badge of honor that we have difficulty with our kavanos. And you should realize that and appreciate it. And that itself should bring to you a measure of kavana. To whom are we addressing our pleas? Who is this Melech Malchei Amlochim that we deny corporeality to, that we deny substance to, that we deny the right of the human being admitting our own limitations and admitting the sense of the common sense as being the ultimate sense? We deny that we can reach out into the world with our senses, and therefore we know that we cannot embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu with those senses. It's a remarkable thing. We would have expected that the scientist would be the one who understands that best. The scientist who discovers that the dog can hear sounds that you cannot hear, that we can see the universe with instruments even though we cannot see it with our eyes. And it goes far beyond the instrument of the telescope. Radio waves, x-rays, we are able to perceive the chemicals that are made up millions of miles away. How do we know that? And how do we accept that as a truth? Because we've created instruments that go beyond our senses. Everyone knows the little bit that we know of psychology, that it's very easy for people to fool themselves. It's very easy for people to imagine things that they don't really see. Why do we trust our eyes so much? Why do we trust a seichel that we have when we know that the computer has 10 times as much seichel? And if it has 1,000 times more memory, slowly but surely it will sooner or later have more seichel than us as well. Because the artificial intelligence world is moving so quickly that not only will it be able to play chess and beat any chess player in the world, but one day it will be able to think more clearly than you and I. Why in the world should we trust those senses? But when we stand in front of that wall and we don't have something to latch on to, it's very difficult to have kavanah. Then all of our stray thoughts run rampant. Because what are we focusing on when there's nothing to focus on? I don't know how much time I have with you, but I wanted to speak about something that on the one hand relates very much to what Arav Blass was speaking about, and on the other hand may be more precise and more specific to the inyan of the Beis Medrash. And that is our geshmak, our enjoyment of learning, or why we may not have a geshmak, or enjoyment of learning. It always amazed me, a certain Rashi. The Rashi tells me, on a pasuk in this previous parsha, we don't have to go too far back, the Ribono Shel Olam is speaking to Bnei Yisrael. Ko somar leveis Yaakov v'sageid lebnei Yisrael. Atem re'isem asher osisi limitzrayim. I carried you. I brought you towards me. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I performed miracles, which you saw with your own eyes. You saw the Makas Bechoros. You saw Paro running in the streets, chasing you out. You saw Kriyas Yamsuf. And now, Im Shamoa Tishmu Bekoli Ushmartem Es Brisi, Beisem Lisgulo Mikolo Amim Kili Kolo Oretz. And Rashi here explains the use of the word va'ata and now. Im ata tekablu aleichem. Yerab lochem ikan ba'elech. Shekolas cholos koshos. It's the most astonishing Rashi. Rashi says that the Ribbono Shalom says, and now, as if to say, you have to trust me now. You have to accept me now because I'm asking you. Because you're not going to enjoy it at the beginning. But sooner or later, Yerab lochem, it will become sweet. Shekol hascholos koshos. And I'm asking myself, this is an amazing thing. The Ribbono Shalom himself has just given a hakdama. He's just given us an introduction. He tells us that this is what I did for you. And you saw it with your own eyes. And you saw how I brought you close to me. How I embraced you. And now it's kol hascholos koshos? What's kol hascholos koshos? And I'll ask another question. When it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, every Jew, every Jew is able to point with a finger and say, Zek Haley. What we find so hard to do when we're davening, something happened there and they were able to identify Hashem. How long ago was Kriyas Yamsuf? What happened to the understanding of Zek Haley? And Zek Haley Vanveyu. And Veyu, I will build for him a mikdash. And Veyu, I will imitate his midos. And Veyu, I will glorify his mitzvos. It sounds like the person's super enthusiastic. What happened? Why is kolas kolas koshos? And I'll tell you the answer. The answer is because mitzvos and Torah have to be kolas kolas koshos. There is no other way. And you know why? There are certain things. You know, the Torah itself is compared to many things, many foods, many drinks. The Torah is compared to water. You know what water is? Water is the material of life. If you don't drink water, you die of thirst. If you drink too much water, you'll drown. Did anybody drown from drinking water? Nobody drowned from drinking water. You take wine. It's fascinating. You drink a little bit of water, and you quench your thirst. You drink a lot of water, you're okay. No one drinks so much water that he gets sick from drinking water. Nobody comes sicker from water. Wine is the exact opposite. You can live your entire life without wine. You drink a little wine, it's enjoyable. You drink a little more wine, you feel mellow. You drink a lot of wine, you get sick. The Torah is nimshal to yayin too. It's a fascinating thing. That the same Torah is nimshal to mayim and it's nimshal to yayin, even though these two liquids have almost opposite functions in the human being, because no one enjoys drinking water. Never mind all the advertisements for Poland Spring. No one enjoys drinking water. You drink water because you're thirsty, and that makes you feel good that your thirst is quenched. But there's no hanah in the chefza of the water. It doesn't attack your taste buds. Why? Is something that people enjoy. Sophisticated people enjoy wines that some people don't even understand why they're drinking it. And those bottles are much more expensive than the wines that are sweet and easy to drink. Which leads us into an entirely different discussion about Torah, which we don't have time for right now. But maybe the pshat is that it's not enough to understand when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells them, Maimer HaSinai, that this is the essence of life. It's not enough to understand a Zek Haley which comes from being saved from death, from imminent destruction. I am going to tell you, says the Ribbono Shel Olam, a recipe that's going to take you into life for the rest of your life. It's a way of life. It isn't a moment of salvation. It isn't merely that it's Mayim. I want you to know that it's Yayim. But Mayim is Mayim. And if I have to, I will travel miles for it, but I don't enjoy it. It doesn't taste good. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says that in the end, Mayim is more important than Yayim. And if I would have given you just Mayim, that would have been a tremendous gift. And the truth of the matter is that Mayim is really what matters. They asked the Birka Shmuel, Rebbe Baruch Ber Zichrono Livracha, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of Europe. In a certain sense, he's the Rebbe of all the Rebbeim today, Kamat. They asked him, how would you describe Torah? Isn't Torah oxygen? He says, no, oxygen gives life. Torah is life itself. Torah may be life itself, but like water, who says that you enjoy it? Who says that you have a time in it? Go tell a person that Baba Kama
is life. Go tell a person that Chumash and Rashi and Ramban is life. Go tell a person another pasuk in Tanakh is life, or another seif in the Shulchan Aruch is life. He doesn't see it, he doesn't feel it. Life is breathing. The Baruch Shalom says, I am going to give you eternal life, I'm going to give you life in this world. I'm going to give you so much life that you will be the only ones that are alive. And the rest of the world is immersed in an essence of insanity that is death. And that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. And the recipe for that is Torah and mitzvahs. And you're not going to understand that this mayim is also yayin. Until the time comes when you realize that this is the most enjoyable thing in the entire world. And that's the problem. The problem is that it starts out as mayim, and you have to take it on faith that it's mayim. And Rashi said, in those very few words, im atot tekablu aleichem, if now you accept it, what are you accepting it as? As life itself. That was the deal and the bargain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, va'atem tiyuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. But you have to accept that, because there's nothing sweet about it at this moment. Right now it sounds like burden, obligation, and it's taking the taste out of life for you. Because they enjoyed all kinds of things. And later in the Midbar, what happened? They reminisced about the foods that they ate in Mitzrayim. Could you imagine? Because that you could taste was real. It was Olam Hazeh. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking them away from Olam Hazeh. You're taking me away from my Super Bowl, and you're taking me away from my hockey. You're taking me away from the girls, and you're taking me away from the pizza shops. What do you want? I should sit in the Beis Medrash and learn Torah. I should do mitzvahs. I should do chesed. I should spend a life caring about other people. I want to care about myself. I want to have a good time. So the Ribbono Shel Olam at the beginning is telling you, that's not life. We say it, ki heim chayenu v'orech yomenu, uvahem ne'ege yomam v'loilam. But a recipe of life, when you don't understand that it's life, and everything inside of you is chafing against it because it seems like it's taking out the marrow of life, of the life that once was, the life of the street, the life of the guy, the life of the Jew who doesn't understand Torah mitzvahs, why should I be excited about it? And even if you accept it as life, who enjoys drinking water? It's so bland. No matter how pure it is, isn't it so bland? To reach the madrega of knowing that it's also yayin, that it has delicate and subtle flavors, and that it becomes more and more a matter of connoisseur's taste. And it's more and more sophisticated as you learn it. And it's more enjoyable because of that. Until finally it's the most enjoyable thing in the world. You'll have to take it on faith. You could not put any food item, a juicy steak, almost pizza with 7 different flavors and with olives and anchovies and the chvesim, the mushrooms and who knows what else, and the finest sauces, you put it in front of me, and all you'll put on the other side of the table is one Tosfos in Baba Metzia, and it's not even a challenge, it's not even a test. There's nothing special about me. It's just that I was zocha to arrive at an understanding that Torah is also yayin, and it's a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives, that Rashi's talking about. It's a promise. Hashem says, give it a chance. Let it happen. Choose the life first, even if it's just bland as water. Even if you're giving up more things than you think you're getting instead. But give it that chance. And when you give it that chance, suddenly, Yerav Aleichem, one day it'll turn out that all of a sudden you see that it's the most sweet and delightful and enjoyable thing in the world. And I'll tell you something. The Satan has an unbelievable kalach. And the biggest koach of the Satan is that when he has an opportunity, he reduces you to a foolishness. He reduces you to idiocy. That's why, I'll be very honest with you, very straightforward. You could think it's harsh, but it's the truth. It's God's truth. Person's a Rebbe, he's giving a shiur. It doesn't matter. There's not one Rebbe in this entire institution that isn't a high-class Rebbe. There's not one Rebbe in this institution that wouldn't give his life for Torah and for his Talmidim. Not one. Not one that I know of, and I think I know them all. I've been around for a long time. And I think I could say that maybe for all the Rebbeim for decades and decades. And then you have now a new device called a laptop, a computer, a cell phone. And the Talmud is standing in front of that Rebbe, sitting in his chair, and the Rebbe is giving over Divrei Elokim Chayim. He's giving over life. and he's giving over Yayin. And what is the Satan going to do now? Cholila v'chas, that the Talmud should be able to see Mayim and certainly not Yayin. Then he'll commit himself to the Torah. What's going to be with this fellow, says the Satan? What's the Yetzer Hara going to do with him anymore? So you know what he does? He shrivels the person. He makes the Talmud so blind to the truth and reality of what's going on in front of him that all there is to do is to go with the fingers like this. Like this. With the thumbs. And who is he talking to? To his girlfriend, to his friend, to his stockbroker. I don't know who he's talking to. But whatever it is, you know what just happened? What just happened is that he allowed the lottery to go right by him. He had a chance to win the lottery, and he bought a pair of sneakers for $125 instead. That's what he did. A person is in the presence of Godless of Torah. He's in the presence of Yirat Shamayim. He's in the presence of Divrei Elokim Chayim. He's watching the Masorah continue, as Rabbi Blass said so beautifully a few moments ago, from Moshe Rabbeinu until Yerubayim of today. And our response is what? It's another shiur, it's another class, it's boring, I'm stifled, I can't indulge my Yetzer Hara right now, I have to do something about it. And Baruch Hashem, technology has come in and has helped us provide the Satan with the perfect tool. It's not the big fancy computer that you have to have a screw, that's for the house. But here, under the table if you're nice, on top of the table if you're not so nice, in front of the nose of the Rebbe if you're horrible, but whatever it is, how does a person give up greatness for stupidity? And there's not a single one of you, you see, you may not agree with me about the greatness yet, but there's not a single one of you that doesn't admit that whatever you're doing is stupidity. How do you do that? How do you have such contempt for yourselves? How do you have such low expectations of yourselves? Why don't we rise to the occasion? Why don't we become the neshama that we are? Why don't we become the personality that we could be? I tell you the truth. If a girl was watching you from a window, looking into the shiur room, she wouldn't want to look to you again, no matter who she is. What does she have respect for? For a person that doesn't respect an adult, for a person that doesn't respect the Rebbe, for a person that doesn't respect the Talmud Chacham, why should she want to look at you even another minute? Who are you? Now the Teretz says, you're great, but you don't realize your greatness. You're great, but the Satan doesn't let go. You're great because you don't want to accept that this Mayim is not going to take the marrow out of your life, but is going to end up being Yayin, which is Yerav Lachem, which will be sweet, which will be exciting. I just want to finish with the thought that I had. It's amazing. Every single day we say a bracha, Birchas HaTorah, and we say, V'harevna Hashem Elokeinu, as Divrei Sarascha Befinu. The same word, Harevna. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in His infinite kindness, He should make Torah sweet for us. I have a big problem with that. You know what my problem is? Imagine for a moment that you have not yet developed a taste for fine wine, and you have a person that has developed such a taste. So you come to him and say, Yolamdeinu Rabbeinu, what do you see in this wine? Why do you get so excited? Why do you feel that you travel miles or pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars for this bottle of wine? And he explains it to you, and he teaches you. And over the course of time, you develop that feeling as well. And now you have it. Are you going to go back to that same person every single day and ask him, teach me? You know it already. You feel it already. You have the taste. You have the sensitivity. So I could imagine that I would make this bracha when I become bar mitzvah. I would imagine I would make this bracha again and again until I arrived. But the Vilna Gaon was making this bracha, and Rav Schechter makes this bracha. They already feel the sweetness. Why are we asking for it again and again? The one answer could be, Enochanami, I feel it, but you may not feel it, and I'm davening for you. But maybe it's such a delicate thing that maybe we understand that we could lose it just as quickly as we gained it. No matter how many Tosfos we learned, and no matter how many Rambams we delighted in. Apparently for the human being to be able to sense that sweetness is not so simple. And we need to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us that extra siyata d'shmaya. So every once in a while you'll have an old man like myself come and talk to you and say, please, don't be small and don't be stupid. And don't make yourselves into anything but the great, great neshamas that you are. Don't allow that to happen. But I know that even while I'm talking, somebody could be writing messages to his friend on the phone. Because it's very hard to commit yourself to something that demands so much of you. And it requires a lot of trust and faith that the payback is infinite. It does. It takes a lot of hard work. And that's what Rashi said. You start out, kol hascholos koshos. There's nothing in life that's worth anything, secular and profane as well, that you don't have to pay the price if it's worth anything at all. But the price that you pay in other things, I don't know what benefit you get in the end. You work hard, you get a big degree, you get a parnasa, very nice, you make a lot of money. And then what? But when you learn Torah and you keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, you get olam hazeh, you get olam haba, you get everything that you could possibly imagine. But you have to take that on faith at the beginning, because you don't see it. Just like we don't see the Ribbono Shel Olam when we daven. I give you my birchas kayin that you should have unbelievable hatzlocha in perceiving as quickly as possible first the mayim of Torah and then the yayin of Torah, and develop that taste that says I would travel hundreds of miles and pay thousands of dollars for one Tosfos in Maseches Bava Metzia. Yashikayim.